Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about owning a real estate investment company. This has been my dream for as long as I can remember. Did it ever hit your radar like it hit mine early on?
Yeah, it did.
Really?
You know what hit mine?
We'll get into it in a second here, but what really hit my radar was just being a private investor. I wasn't sure it was going to be real estate, but I knew it was going to be something like this. Mm-hmm. So, good show today as always, but before we start, let's take a question from a caller.
Sure. All right. Mark from Orlando asks, says, we have a handful of callers to follow up. Oh, this is good. This sounds like it's one of our people. Says, we have a handful of callers to follow up and see if they'll sell. Two seem interested, using the mailing references they provided. I searched the properties and found they have no access. Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. So his question really is, should we turn these deals down completely, or is a $500 acquisition always a good buy? The lowest retail I can find is $24.99.
So I think what he's saying is, you know, look, it doesn't appear to me he did everything
Absolutely.
We do. He did everything right.
Right.
He sent a ton of mailers out based on the data criteria and the whole thing, and he got a lot of responses back. And so mm-hmm. he's going through his due diligence, choosing the ones that he wants to buy, and a couple of them don't have what look like direct physical access. Mm-hmm. So, this access thing comes up a lot. I think almost all properties have legal access, meaning
right.
you can't reasonably withhold access to someone else's property if your property's kind of in the way, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then most of them, if it's all subdivided properly, that they have easement access anyway, legal. Mm-hmm. So just because there's a road not there in Google Earth, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He went into Google Earth,
exactly.
Just like we said. And he said there's not a road right up to it. There
right.
might be one a quarter mile away, eighth of a mile away. There might be a two-track running through the middle. So, you know, what do you think?
You know, it comes back to that property. What does it have? It sounds like it has the other attributes that we're looking for. It sounds like the acreage is not an issue, mm-hmm. and the affordability is certainly not an issue. Does it have another attribute? I still might do it at that price because if the comps that he's finding are five times, you know, the lowest he could find is five times that price, I might do it. And I'll tell you, and it's because we've been doing it a long time, but I'm watching some of our members in our community. We have an online community, successplant.com, and I'm watching them talk about some of these properties. Mm-hmm. And one of our members came up with his own way of saying, hey, I give everyone one of his options is I offer them, you know, a 60-day, you know, money back, you know, uh-huh. go out there and look at it yourself, guarantee. And then I'm like, beautiful. I mean,
sure.
There's ways around that too. Somebody might want it. So I hear what this guy is asking, Mark. I get it. You know, Mark, and if it's got the other three things, this is all personal thing to you. I honestly might do it too.
Yeah, it's really property specific, but the silver bullet in real estate for all these rules and these questions is simply this. If you disclose everything that you know about it, that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you've heard me say it a million times, Jill. We disclose that we buy these properties and sell them as a primary business. Mm-hmm. We don't go out and see them. We don't know much about it. And please, please, please take a look at the whole situation before you actually buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the vast majority of properties where you look at them on Google Earth and there's a road relatively close, and you can see platted easements. You check all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be fine.
You know, and you brought up something really, really good, Steve, in that disclosing everything. Because I've had properties like this where I've said, you know, look, is it staked out? No. But let's be honest. You're buying it at this price because I'm not going to go out there and stake it out. You can afford to hire someone to stake it out. And I've had people go, yeah, you're right.
That's exactly right.
I said, do you want me to have someone to, if you're going to buy it and you're willing to pay X amount of dollars, I'll hire someone to go stake it out.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, no, you're right. Never mind. I'm like, yeah, thank you. You know, and I watched one of our members do that too with something else where they were asking for something. And she said, all right, for X amount, I'll figure it out. Or for, or you want to just go with what we had negotiated and you do it, because trust me, it's cheaper if you do it. And the guy's like, yeah, you're right, you know, kind of thing. So totally. So there you go.
I think that answers the question.
I agree.
Most people seem to want a yes or no question. Should you ever buy property that doesn't have access? No.
Right.
But.
Are there exceptions? Yes.
Yes. And the deeper you look into this access issue, the less severe it really is.
Right. I agree. Because, you know, there's somebody out there, if the comps are $2,500, there's somebody out there that wants it for $1,000.
Sure.
And they're going to figure it out because they still got a smoking deal.
There's a huge, huge market out there for property that can't be found and no one talks about it. There's a lot of people who want to buy property that want to live like where you cannot be found.
Oh, that's true. Good point. And you forget about that.
I had a customer client a lot of years ago that specifically sought that out from us. You know, it was, you know, you'd have to have a pretty serious, like, all-terrain vehicle to get there because he wanted to be not found.
Was he in the witness protection program or something? Questions? What is that?
I never asked.
Can maybe we should be marketing to the witness protection program? Yeah. Just kidding.
I don't want to know anything about
right?
that.
Hilarious. All right. I want to talk about this topic because you brought up something really cool.
Yeah.
So how did you know, Stephen, that, I mean, why has this been a dream for you? What was it about where you grew up or your family or people? I mean, what triggered this in you?
The honest answer is I have no idea, but I know that. I know. I have always wanted to make my own decisions based on where I put my money full time. And not other people's money, not any of this, like, I want to invest here. I want to represent you in this investment. None of that stuff. I've always known that I want to create my own equity and then put the equity in stuff that I can control and watch and build.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I have had this conversation many, many times. There's lots of ways we could go borrow money.
Oh, yeah.
Or raise equity. We could do that. I'm not joking. Probably in the next 45 minutes. Tons
exactly.
of it.
You know,
people reach out to us all the time. But, you know, unless it's very specific, you and I so far haven't, in a big way, haven't taken advantage of that. And it's because after a certain point, the money's not that important. It's just kind of like a peace of mind and control.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I've always wanted that.
That's cool.
I never really believed the stock market's a great thing. I've never believed in it. That's not my thing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really try to understand it. My brother, of course, is a pro at the stock market. Makes my head hurt. You know, he worked for a while in Chicago and I'd go visit him. You know, he was on the mercantile and I'd stand in that big room and I look up on the walls all around, all the numbers and all the displays and all the monitors. And I just go, oh, this makes my head hurt. You know, I'm like, there's no way. I don't get it.
I love that stuff. But I'll tell you, I mean, at a very, very young age in my early to mid 20s, I was an officer and a vice president in a company. We took it public. So I was there when it was private and we took it. And then I realized that it's just, when you buy a share of stock, you are not reading analyst reports and stuff. This is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Reading reports and you have no idea what's going on. There's so many ways and things that can go on with financial statements and all that, you know, and it cracks me up when I hear people say, I bought 25 shares of Apple because they're selling so many iPhones. And it's like, man, that has nothing to do with their product, has nothing to do with really their financial performance, which theoretically should make the stock move. What are we talking about?
Right.
Exactly. So this is how I chalk it all up with the stock market. You just don't have the control that you might think that you have over the value of a stock. There's a lot of stuff that can happen.
Right.
I would rather control my own stuff, like own your own investment company.
Correct. And you know you're going to double your money. You have a lot of control over what you're doing.
Right.
I agree. So what's interesting is I was taking it, when you said that, I hadn't thought about that before this call. you know, what was it about it for me? And you know what? For me, I swear it was my two things. One, growing up in Southern California, seeing all this property. And back then, it was a guy, it was Cole. His last name was Cole. And you'd see Cole everywhere. And he was buying up everything. And you'd think the guy owned, you know, all of Irvine. And he probably did. Mm-hmm. So, and some of the beach areas, you know, you just in Newport. Oh, yeah, a lot of Newport Beach, Cole everywhere. So I'm seeing this person buying up all this stuff, you know, totally piqued my interest, number one. And then my dad, that was always one of his passions, you know, was, you know, and he later did, you know, buy, you know, he did his own, had some, you know, residential rentals, yeah. You know, some, most in Texas, but he did that for a while. And I just, you know, and he always wanted to do it. It was fun to watch him get ready and prepare to do it and then just do it.
You know, what's really intriguing for me for real estate, specifically land, but houses and the whole thing. I mean, houses are not even on my top radar for real estate investing, but they always come up. So we talk about it a lot. What I love about it is that you can literally start with nothing because all you have to do is one deal. Mm-hmm. And understand it, get educated and understand it, one deal. All right, so great. Now you're making $150 a month. Mm-hmm. Are you going to retire on that? No way. But now you're looking around for the next one. Mm-hmm. So when you look at an apartment building, I use this example somewhere. I think it's in a free ebook. You know, imagine you could buy an apartment building one unit at a time. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. Mm-hmm. So instead of going and trying to source $3-5 million to buy the whole thing at once, this is buying one unit at a time and collecting with a fantastic return on investment, ROI, one unit and just build from there. You might do 10 in 1 month and then something comes up and you don't do any.
Right. And you pay cash, by the way.
Yeah.
That's my thing too. This topic I wanted to talk about because I've had this asked of me. I've had people, you know, not just, you know, in passing say, wow, I want to do what you're doing. How do you do this? You know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing I tell them. I say, start small, pay cash, learn the business. And I really, really urge people who want to be in this business, have a mentor. It'll save you so much time and headaches and trouble. And you got to look around and find the right person, you know, and it's sometimes hard to find the right person, which is why we have Land Academy, you know, kind of thing. We were individually mentoring people and it just got to be, we couldn't help us, couldn't do it. You know, it's just got too busy.
Right.
So now we can help a lot of people this way, which is really great. So I love it. My other thing is to get yourself on a path and grow and stay with it and don't push it, if that makes sense. I see people sometimes want it to be, sometimes they set goals for themselves that might be a little bit out there, and then don't set yourself up for failure. And I'm not talking about you, Stephen. You think I'm talking about you? Who are you talking about?
I'm laughing because you and I differ on this.
Oh.
And I think that's great. But again, that's one of the reasons we do well as partners.
That's kind of, yeah.
I really think that you need to throw all kinds of gas right on the fire. I'm just about, you know, you asked me early, that's hilarious. Like 3 days ago.
We do look at things differently.
I've been saying this. This phrase for quite some time, for more than a couple of years, and Jill finally, for whatever reason, it sunk in with Jill like 2 days ago, and it's swing hard and hope for the best, which is like a silly golf thing that I came up with. I don't golf very often at all, but a few years ago, I was golfing with my attorney, and he said, you know, you clearly have some issues with your swing, so why don't you just swing hard and hope for the best?
I love it.
And I turned around and said, you know, I approach a lot of things in life like that.
Yeah, you do.
We all had a real good laugh about it. And so you can visualize what happened there.
Totally.
And so it's just always been a funny, like, so let's just swing hard and hope for the best.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, yes, Steven.
I really think you can throw some fire on some stuff and just, I don't know. I'm a big fan of going 100 miles an hour, screwing some stuff up, see what happens. And then in the end, it's a tortoise and the hare thing.
Yeah.
I'm more of the hare and you're maybe the tortoise. I don't know.
Well, you know what, though? We're a good team because we're happy. I'm not about sitting around making sure everything's, you know, my desk is all straightened and you say, okay, now we can start taking clients. No.
Oh,
you don't want to do that. Have your receptionist there working for a week and getting everything going before you open your doors to your business. Don't ever do that. You know, so
exactly. They're exactly right.
Yeah. Maybe there's a
grind it out in the basement. you know,
exactly,
get some good cash flow and then go get an office, uh-huh, like 3 years later.
Right. When you're pulling your hair out and you can't keep up and you have money just coming in, you have deposits coming in. You're not even sure where they came from.
Yes.
It's a great problem to
you
have.
You don't know how to account for the money that's coming in. That's maybe one of the signs.
Is that there you go. You've arrived. You now have a property investment company. Congratulations.
So let's wrap it up like this. What advice would you give to somebody who's new? I don't care about their age, but somebody who's new that says, you know what? They either say something like this. I'm 22 years old and I know I want to have my own private investment company. Or they're a lot older in life saying, you know what? That's what I wanted to do. Now I realize it. What advice would you give?
Okay. I tell them to decide where they want to be in the end and then work it backwards. Like maybe 3 years from now, 2 years from now, I don't care what it is. Give a date. I want to be doing this and this is where I want to be and then work it backwards. How much money do I need to want coming in every month? Is it $10,000 a month? Is it $20,000 a month? I don't care. Mm-hmm. Work it backwards. Figure out, okay, how many properties do I need to place? What do I need to be doing? You know, da da da. And then when you sit back and go, all right, here's my 5-year plan. That means I have to place one property a week or two a month or whatever it is. You know, so I would say start with that.
Excellent advice.
And then once you have that, get the knowledge that you need. And anybody can really do this. I mean, we can all do. You know, I was talking last night with my friend Kelly about this. You know, short of physical restrictions, you know, that, you know, we joke around, you're 6 foot, maybe you're 5'2" and you want to be a professional basketball player. Mm-hmm. You might have some issues with that.
Right.
But short of that kind of stuff, gosh, you can really do anything you really put your mind to.
Yeah, it comes back to confidence. I agree with you.
And we were both just talking about mm-hmm. that, you know, and so interesting how many people, for some reason, they don't get it. So, but you want to do this? You can do this. It's not hard. I mean, but there are some ways to get there faster too, which is have a mentor. I mean, how long it took us to get to this level? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many years? So there's things you can do that will save you a lot of time.
My direct advice would be get education first. Yeah. It's the biggest mistake I see in real estate investment and a lot of other stuff is people, they actually try to start doing deals really quick. Like the first thing they do is go out and look for a deal to do.
Right.
Instead of really just methodically going through all the free education you can get out of there, mm-hmm. out there, and then finding something that you might have to pay a little bit for, mm-hmm. and make a commitment, and then after, I would say, for the average person, you know, it's probably shorter for me, maybe longer for some people, but about 6 months of pure education, where you're really studying, I mean, part time because you have mm-hmm. a regular job and stuff, just get educated first, and then pull the stops out.
Mm-hmm. You know what else is, you need to expect that you're going to screw some things up. You're going to get some things wrong. You might accidentally, you know, but you can recover.
Where did that ever come from? I see this generation, this younger generation, really kicking themselves really hard for not doing everything perfectly.
Like, so what? You learn from it, move on. Who cares?
I just think with the way the internet is, you go out on YouTube and you watch somebody do something spectacularly fantastic and you think, oh,
I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That wasn't their first take.
I see a lot of people get real frustrated in school that way.
Yeah.
Because they don't, you know, maybe one or two classes or topics they're doing great in, but once, you know, a C. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what school is supposed to be for. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to say, hey, I'm great at this and it comes easy to me, or this is awful over here and I suck at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
I'm going to say something funny that you said the other night. Yeah. Like, I'm going to tie into that what you said the other night. Even Alex P. Keaton is not good at everything, everyone.
I said that.
Well, you were talking about you. You described you as someone who was asking who you were. And you said, you know, I was Alex P. Keaton in high school. I thought that was really cool. So there's some of our listeners are going, oh, get it. And some of our listeners are going, who the heck is that?
And half of our listeners are gone now.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're looking it up right now. Who's Alex P. Keaton? No, it's hilarious. All right.
Join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in property investment and in life. You know what I should have mentioned, Jill, is how bad I have the flu right now.
Oh,
and I'm trying
to
show up for this.
You're rallying and you're doing so great.
Am I pulling this off?
You are. You know what?
I'm not complaining.
I got to tell you, Stephen, I hate to say this, but this is the little after show that I don't think people, I hope no one's listening to this. I'm just kidding. But, you know, you have so much energy and so much push all the time. So when you don't feel good and you're kind of calm and relaxed and a little bit out of it, it's kind of nice. I'm so sorry. I have to say that.
Hey, thanks for getting sick once in a while, Steve.
Yeah.
Gives me a break.
Thank goodness you got the flu. I was, God,
taking
man.
Taking a break from you.
That's right.
There's a compliment in there somewhere.
That's right. Can't get out of bed. Yay. All right. We get the office to ourselves today, everybody. Woohoo.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding.
I don't think you're kidding at all. I think you like the break.
I do like the break.
Taking a break from the boss. That's awful, man.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.